So, when you're ready, Nancy, I think you know most of the attendees, and I'll go over who I have.
Right, I have Anil, Ranga, Ira, me, Gary, Ted Tronson, Bill, John, Doug. Is anybody else on the phone?
Yes.
Is there anybody else on the phone who said yes? Okay. I guess that's all.
Okay. Nancy, you did want to look at these slides first before looking at minutes, right?
Yes.
I confess I didn't even look back at your agenda. I'm sorry. It's just been a long week. Okay, for anyone who doesn't know, which conceivably might be Ted Tronson, but somehow I doubt even that, CWMP, which stands for CPE WAN Management Protocol, I think.
Yes.
Is, and the CPE is in the telecom industry word, customer premise equipment. Is a standard from the Broadband Forum, standard TR-069, Technical Report 069, and it's a XML schema-based, uses an XML model and then instances of that model language, but somewhat like the MPF SIM does. But it's an XML schema-based data language that is transported over SOAP, and it has a fair number of first-class operations, including ones concerned with diagnostic and downloading firmware and so on. And it's for deploying deploying manageable customer premise equipment, that is, intelligent devices that have IP capability and are in a home or office setting where a telecom or other third-party managed service provider is managing them. So the second bullet is why are we even talking about this? Standard CWMP models for imaging devices would enable all brands of printers and multifunctions to be remotely deployed, to be installed, and to be managed by an ACS, which is, again, CWMP term, stands for Auto Configuration Server. The trick with CWMP is you plug a device in and it was pre-configured with the internet name or IP address, kind of fragile, but the internet name that can be resolved in DNS of the auto configuration server, and it does what the router industry calls call home. It immediately contacts the auto configuration server the first time it boots and refuses to offer any services at all to anyone until it has been configured with policy by the ACS. CWMP is, I think we've lost the detail slide here, but is deployed on hundreds of millions of routers and set-top boxes and smartphones and file storage servers and femto access points and PCs on various networks that are usually telecom provider managed. The CWMP BOF, which is IETF terminology, Birds of Feather, as in an informal working group, is providing guidance for developing standard CWMP data models for imaging devices based on the PWG semantic model. And again, I think everyone on the call knows what that is, but the semantic model is an abstract model that's protocol independent of all imaging services, print, scan, fax, copy, etc. And it has a companion XML schema that quite rigorously formally defines all the objects and element groups and individual elements and data types and values. It's a set of some, I think it's now about 40 schema files, it's it's more than that. It's probably 50. About 30,000 lines of XML. So there is a browsable form, by the way, of that that has been reduced to HTML, and you can explore the individual elements that is posted with a link at the PWG semantic model webpage, and we can send that link, those links out. But basically, our idea was, instead of reinventing the wheel, to take the wheel, the semantic model, which is distilled from the PrinterMIB and IPP and other printing industry standards from the last 20-some years, and use it based on machine translation. So if we go to the next slide, okay. Once each PWG-based data model for imaging services has been developed, I would say once it's been at least partially developed, it should be proposed as a broadband forum project for broadband forum standardization, because they standardize CWMP models. And if we go to slide 5, this is the picture of what I was just talking about. One of the data models in CWMP that are standard is for something called an IGD, an Internet Gateway device, and it is the it's the DSL modem and smart router that sits at the edge of the customer premise, speaks across the public internet to the auto configuration server, who on its back end has a variety of policy and business process connections to OSS and policy and call center servers, call center, of course, for trouble tickets in particular. That interface on the far side of the ACS is called the northbound interface. This is a topology thing. Should have picked this. They should have turned this diagram on its side. And the interface between the ACS and the managed internet gateway device, the customer premise router, is called the southbound interface. And then each device on the customer premise can be managed by native management protocols such as SNMP or others, or it can indeed have CWMP, TR69, implemented in the device, in which case it's native and not proxied, and then the IGD, the gateway, simply passes the packets and validates that it's, you know, that this is a known device that's passing packets out. Always, CWMP connections have strong security. Was that Bill coming back?
That's me coming back.
Okay, because all CWMP connections, in addition to running SOAP, must, not should, but must run TLS security. So there is data encryption and data integrity in every CWMP connection between a in device or that gateway device and the ACS. If we go to slide 6, this kind of gets to the meat quickly, which is good. This is a slide that one of several, I think two or three in here, that came from ThinkStream, from their work on proxies, and pretty well describes what the CWMP proxy logically is, whoever builds it. It's a proxy that understands SNMP, because there are a great many deployed MIBs, including printer-specific MIBs, like the port monitoring MIB and the printer MIB and the job MIB. It uses HTTP to embedded web servers. That's the EWS terminology there. That's the modern equivalent of screen scraping from old terminal applications in mainframes. That is, it's not interoperable. It's fragile. it's especially hard to do because it is often state-dependent. That is, the way you negotiate to a particular, the way you navigate to a particular, rather, web page in an embedded web server can change the results of what you see on that web page, and other actions can too. And IPP, Internet Printing Protocol, and I think we all know what that is, and semantic model proxy, that is a proxy that is speaking SOAP using the standard web services bindings from the semantic model XML schema. There are WSDL operation definitions for all the semantic model abstract operations, with a very few exceptions where we actually improved or deleted a few we thought were unwise. They map one-to-one to IPP operations, which indeed map one-to-one to ISO DPA, ISO 10175 operations defined in the 1980s. Lastly, a firewall, and that firewall is effectively that Internet gateway device, or it's separate, but there's one there for sure. Between you and the public Internet. A firewall might also, in addition to directing traffic to a CWMP, to and from a CWMP proxy, could direct it to a native implementation of CWMP in a printer, an MFP, a standalone copier, or standalone scanner, any imaging device. And notice that the proxy, in particular, has the concept of having a local management console, which could be a PC on the local subnet at the business or home location of that. If we go, any questions, by the way, before I turn to the next slide?
This is good. Thank you.
Okay. This slide deck used to be much longer, and we used to, every 2 months, explain for the benefit of the one or two new people who didn't already know what we've been doing for the last year, the whole much deeper background on CWMP and how it developed and why it was useful and so on. And we're, the premise of the CWMP BOF is it is useful. That's why we're talking about it, because there is actual known demand from telecom providers for the ability to lease to customers printers and MFDs. Well, if there is, then just like everything else that they lease to customers, those telecoms or telecom remarketers are going to want to manage those devices. So that's the idea. And they definitely cannot with any of the existing management protocols, WSMAN, the various other web open standard web services protocols for management, SNMP, IPP, none of them penetrate firewalls, as we know. You have to have outbound connections, you can't have inbound connections. So CWMP, we might come. Well, if we come to slide 7, you'll then see sort of a little bit more understandable, because it's got images of devices, but of the previous slide. Device Maestro is a ThinkStream solution that implements a CWMP proxy and is continuing to extend that proxy. Device Maestro, or the associated product, also has a TR69 stack, a native stack that ThinkStream sells that can be embedded in an imaging system so that that imaging system can be plugged into literally any CWMP-conformant Internet gateway device, and it can be communicated with directly. It doesn't need a proxy. It also has the advantage, of course, that the native stack can talk to the full internal systems management instrumentation, usually by the same method that IPP and SNMP and so on do. That is, most modern MFDs internally have some system management process or thread that coordinates all the management protocol requests anyway, and serializes them when necessary and so on. If we go to slide 8, this gets us to the meat of sort of where we are. We have been over a period of most of the last year developing a PWG white paper on CWMP data models for printers and MFDs with guidance for developing, it actually has chapters in it with some mapping, for developing PWG semantic model / IPP based data models. And it actually has guidance for proxies as well. We have been in the white paper defining the approach for machine translation of the PWG semantic model to avoid going at that 30,000 lines of XML schema by hand, a fragile idea. And ThinkStream folks and CellStream people in Bangalore, where Ranga is this evening, have gone off and written quite a nice tool following that approach and the first sketches of a data model that I put in there that said if you did a translation, it should wind up looking something like this, and have actually translated the PWG print service, which is one of the top services in the semantic model. So a large minority of the whole semantic model has been translated. We have taken an approach, we evolved into this, of incrementally prototyping a data model for printers via a CWMP proxy and an embedded CWMP client emulator. That was the one on the right in the previous slide. For printers and extending this data model as time allows. That is, ThinkStream is doing so, and occasionally Ira gets cycles and helps with the loose ends and the mapping plan. Let me say one of the slides we skipped here was the rationale. We had a couple of slides that had this rationale and we threw it out. For the short version, originally, we were trying to translate the whole semantic model, and there we'd have this lovely CWMP schema for, you know, the new class imaging device or, you know, MFD device, whatever, multifunction device, and it would have print service and scan service and copy and everything. However, we are only starting later this year the IPP project to add to IPP support for other imaging services besides printing, and the web service SOAP bindings of PWG semantic model, while these standards have come out for over several years recently, are, as far as we know, not deployed in any shipping device from any vendor. So to write a proxy to a standardized scan service or a standardized fax out service isn't feasible because while there are standards, there aren't deployments of those standards. So we scaled back the scope of the CWMP data model to print service and the print device associated with it for the first phase of our effort. And we did it so that we could focus on the rich set of functionality that we could proxy from IPP or from various IETF and PWG standard MIBs, because the entire multifunction PWG semantic model was derived by abstract extension of just those properties for, you know, descriptions of job object and document object and description of job ticket and so on. So if we go to slide 9, if everyone's with me, future activities. So here we come to where this is sort of our next steps. Propose the basic CWMP model translated from the PWG semantic model as a broadband forum project. This is what we talked about in August at the face-to-face. When the model has sufficient elements representing all essential components of the CWMP-managed printer MFD, see next slide about SOHO data model first. We'll see that in a moment. And a technical or a practical note, a process note, only a broadband forum principal member can propose a new broadband forum standards development project. And then, of course, other members have to support it, and there's a process to charter such a project, so it doesn't get chartered just because it was proposed. A second possible future activity, though there may be real organizational and bylaws problems with doing it, is to propose a formal liaison relationship from the PWG with the broadband forum to monitor the consistency of the full CWMP model with the PWG semantic model standard. And then we have some more motherhood below that says, of course, we shouldn't reinvent the data model. We should base it on, the existing PWG work, and that that should be the approach for the broadband forum, as opposed to a proprietary model, even a proprietary model that was an other one based on derived elements from the printer, may have been IPP, but that, for instance, used different names for the properties, different names for the enumerated values, which would break interoperability. So, let me see. If there aren't questions right away on future activities, I think we can spin on into the next slide, which is discussion, which is, and I think is pretty much the end of this slide set practically. Should we propose a simpler model to broadband forum sooner? Ranga, I don't know, midsummer, maybe even early summer, first said, maybe we don't even want to bring the whole print service, which is still quite complicated. It has hundreds of properties in the printer object, that is the print service and print device, and in the job object and document object. And it has, and they, in turn, some of them have dozens or hundreds of possible values. So it winds up being quite a large subset of the whole semantic model. So the idea was to potentially choose some subset of the PWG semantic model. I suggested as a method for describing it, not to say that IPP is necessary at all, but simply taking only the required properties for the printer device service, they're merged in IPP, and the job and the document object from IPP 2.0. By the way, no document object is required in IPP 2.0, so it's only the job object and the print service and print device. And take that small subset that represents basically 2 of 28 IETF and PWG published IPP standards, and it is not quite entirely complete either because it also doesn't address the device characteristics that are in the set of MIPS, but that was too hard to put on one slide here. So the idea was to take a SOHO or small business environment model, simpler model for a printer first, and part of the reason was to bring a document to the BBF with a proposal, a schema document that was 1/20th the size of what it otherwise will be, or 1/10th anyway, so that we were not having to, we PWG people, Marvell people, Cisco people, if they participate, wouldn't have to explain to the larger membership of the broadband forum the details of a whole bunch of arcane and complicated printing, print processing requests, such as how you do the details of how you do an op, number up, you know, multiple logical pages per output page, to the broadband forum members, because if we have to explain all of the image shift and all of this fine stuff, we could waste a year and a half trying to get people to understand the arcana of printing rather than looking at the, okay, this model is well-formed, as in follows best practice for CWMP schema, which is what we wanted to focus on. So, and I'll read the other questions here, and then I would say we can actually, in point of fact, go into the discussion. Should we also require that the IPP Everywhere extensions, there are just a few, this is a handful of attributes, to IPP 2.0 be included in the original SOHO data model? The reason we thought that might be important, in particular in the CWMP kind of very, very widespread geographic locations of the various customer premise subnets, device UUID, which was just added to IPP for the IPP Everywhere project, and geolocation, that is the physical, the geographic location of the device, which again are quite valuable. There's just a couple others that I think it's six altogether that are required added. And we could add those properties or we could not add those properties. I think rough consensus in the August meeting was that we probably should add the UUID. Very important if you're managing the hundreds of millions or tens of millions of devices, and the geolocation for pretty much the same reason. It has to do with how you dispatch service, how you, you know, what you do with partners to do diagnostics and field service and so on. And the last question was, should we continue to plan a second PWG-based enterprise printer data model for proposal to the broadband forum? For instance, adding the significant number of additional properties, printer job properties that are in IPP 2.1, which is a higher version level. Even that version level does not yet define the document object in IPP, that is for multi-document jobs. So only single document jobs are supported by IPP 2.1. As a result, to actually go to a much an even higher level of functionality would require that we move up to the profile of IPP 2.2. which still takes, I think I added it up with Mike a while back, about 12% of all of the IPP standard properties in the 20-some standards, nearly 30 IPP standards now, because those standards themselves only make a minority of their new properties required. So it's far more properties defined in IPP and even in the printer MIP are optional as opposed to required. And as a result, there's a large tilt. There's a huge amount of content that is in the PWG semantic model that represents functionality that one or two or three vendors have ever shipped in any interface, including, you know, DPA-based protocols that have been derived before the arrival of IPP and or the arrival of the PWG semantic model. And lastly is this ready issue. How can the PWG insurer model developed in broadband form remains consistent with PWG standards? And that goes back to that question on the previous page about future activities about a formal liaison. we can talk about that more. Mike Sweet and I are of the opinion, reading PWG and ISTO bylaws, that we cannot do a formal liaison with the broadband forum because they restrict access to working drafts to BBF members, and the PWG never restricts access to any content and formally will not publish a standard based on any intellectual property that is not RAND or RAND-C licensed. So we will not publish a standard based on proprietary, non-open standards. Now, broadband forum standards, when they're published, are certainly publicly available, and that's fine. That's why we can work together. But I'm afraid we have to work together informally. So this issue about how it remains consistent is, I think, the only practical solution is PWG active participants have to continue to participate in the standardization effort that follows on in the broadband forum. So, let's see, the next steps are all, the next slide is not very interesting, and the back slide just says supplements, see previous versions of these slides. So, I think, Nancy, rather than we could go look at the minutes right now, but perhaps given the time, we should sort of open the forum up to questions and discussion here. I will say that the conference minutes from the face-to-face strongly reflect these slides. There was pretty strong consensus that, yes, we should try to move forward with proposing the model to the BBF because we're well beyond approach prototyping. You know, there's several demos have been done, and the proxy built by ThinkStream has been progressively enhanced and now has both IPP and SNMP support, as well as the original SNMP just for printer mode support. It has widened. And the machine translation has been quite successful and has been proven to be viable. It produces a schema that indeed, you know, compiles and is a valid schema using the CWMP modeling language. So, I don't know. Nancy, would you like to steer this discussion a little, or would anyone like to speak up or ask a question or make a comment?
This is John Egan with Marbell. I've got several points I'd like to ask about.
Okay, good.
Okay, first off, in one or two sentences, why do you think BBF is doing this?
Well, they aren't doing it. But the answer, why do we think that the BBF should do it?
Yes.
I could answer that question. Because several of us on the phone today and others that I know of who are PWG members are aware of American and European telecoms who want to, along with all the other stuff that they lease to customers, lease MFDs or printers, probably generally MFDs, for home use and to small businesses. Small businesses that have, 10 people in the office, it's horribly expensive usually to get conventional managed print services from the print industry MPS providers. There are some exceptions to that, but it still tends to be costly and hard to justify. Whereas if a telecom deploys a million of these devices over a period of some years, the telecom can afford to run a lot narrower margin on managing them, partly because the whole model of CWMP management is smart device, smart auto configuration server, automatic recovery from most problems without, zero touch recovery from most problems, including the need
okay.
for field service.
Thanks. I'm glad I only asked for a couple sentences. Look, my understanding from speaking with service providers and having attended BBF and been involved in TR69 for a few years is service providers are very interested in managing the home network and the pieces in the home network, because they want to guarantee that the home network works properly and the content that they're delivering is not interrupted due to network problems. So I believe that if we were to ask the BBF to hold their members, which they would gladly do, and to tell us what they're looking for from this, that this is what we'll find out. It's not some complex schema or anything else. They want to understand that if they go to troubleshoot something in the network, they can query the printer, they can find out the printer information, they can find out the status of the printer, what sort of errors it's running into. These are the sorts of things that I believe we'll find out are the primary interest. So if this is the primary interest that we find out, then I believe that you can boil this down to some very well-defined steps and be able to move forward fairly quickly. And your primary interest is going to be Soho First, too. So that helps you. And about worries about them doing things that you're not going to like, I believe are unfounded. BBF is contributions-driven. So somebody would have to be deciding that they want to be some nefarious printer company or against the printer world to come in with a contribution that would be contrary to what PWG wants. So I just think that that's a concern that's not so well-founded. And the relationship with BBF, I am part of another alliance, and we have a written agreement with them over our members being able to participate in the generation of specifications there. In fact, our chair had signed a non-disclosure agreement to be able to even be part of the chairing of a committee there. So they're very open to working with people. And if you were to contact Robin Mersch, CEO or whatever it is over there at Broadband Forum, I'm sure that these things could get arranged very quickly. So
our problem is our bylaws.
Oh,
we can't actually, the PWG can't execute an NDA with anyone.
When you were speaking, I had a lot of questions, but I really thought it was good for me to wait until you were done.
Sorry.
Okay. So I believe if you were to contact Robin, mention your concerns, that there would be a way to resolve these issues. So instead of saying, no, it can't be, I would recommend that you reach out to him first, because they have many relationships with many organizations that have rules similar, and they've come up with ways to resolve these. And I'm sure that if PWG volunteered to be the one that brought in the package to them, for them to then incorporate into TR-181 or whatever for devices, that this would be fine with them. So I think just take the step, reach out to them, say what you want to do, say what you have as concerns, and ask what they would hold their members to find out exactly what would be the best thing to focus on first. This might help get things moving forward. Thanks.
Okay, so that sounds great. Ira and I will discuss with Mike, which is PWG chair, and we'll try to reach out to Robin and see what we can do there. Really appreciate your information.
Good. I'll send you his contact information if you don't have it.
Thank you.
The Soho subset that we were presently proposing, by the way, focuses entirely on state and diagnostics and alerts. So that's what it is. It's the core information from the printer and a handful of properties from IPT, but it's quite device-centric.
Well, it sounds like that would be actually a good fit, given what John was saying.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to respond to John's comment that, you know, the present proposal would focus strictly on that sort of thing. What's the current state of the device? What are the recent alerts? You know, what is the, you know, short of alerts, what, you know, have I got paper trays low, missing or low? You know, have I got, you know, a door open or something else? And what is the recent job history at the summary level, that is, how many print jobs have been run in the last, you know, week or day or whatever the interesting period is, or how many times has the device been power cycled, which has something to do with wear on some of the, I mean, lifetime on some of the elements.
So this is Ranga here. I just wanted to check with folks from Marvell, given that you've got a strong and active customer base in the amongst print OEMs, would you see value that you could take to them to adopt this and bring the see the power of this system for them?
Yeah, I guess in certain segments of the market I can. In the obviously the very low cost, very high volume segment, there may kind of be a little bit of a disconnect, but certainly in more of the, you know, small business type environment or home office where it's more about needing a managed service, that probably would have a good fit.
So not fit for enterprise environment, that's what you said, right?
Well, I think what you're going to find is when you start talking about products that realistically are like in the sub-$100 range, there may at least currently be a disconnect in terms of having this type of managed service. That could change over time, obviously. I mean, you know, Moore's Law is driving, you know, the ability to have a lot more content in the device every year, so...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly some of the concepts of, you know, being able to things like being able to download firmware, knowing the status remotely, being able to monitor and provision things, you know, is maybe boring as consumables, would be a very high value.
Okay.
Yeah, because consumables, in fact, are a good way to make profit because you can, you know, send the user an email that says, by the way, you know, we've ordered some more consumables for you under our contract here. And the user's happy because he didn't run out of whatever ink in particular, toner, before he didn't find it out the hard way.
Yeah.
Ira, that sounds like the enterprise environment is not suitable for.
I'm sorry?
It sounds like the enterprise environment use case is not.
No, I think it sounds like small business.
Yeah.
It's actually more difficult at home for somebody to figure out what's the part number, what's the compatibility and all that. So if they set it up saying threshold level is 20%, if it goes below that to an auto order, I think a lot of people at home or in their Soho environment will find that extremely convenient.
Wow. Yeah, especially if you look at, like, people who work at home for an enterprise, I mean, they may often be, you know, required to do something that's more centrally managed.
Or satellite offices for enterprises.
Exactly.
More and more common. Whether it's a satellite office or an actual small business, offices that have 5 to 10 people in them, traditional managed print service providers, it can be moderately expensive to get that kind of service. If you can scale it over a great many people and you've automated it a lot further, because that's the approach of CWMP, is to make these things more automated and lower touch, then that you can offer, the telecom provider can offer, or a partner managed print service provider can offer a more cost-effective set of, you know, supplies and field service capabilities, because it's scaled across so many more customers.
And then even the percentage of, you know, corporate employees who are working from home is now increasing in most organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, even finally in the computer industry.
think it's great that, you know, there is a degree of consensus. So we have an action item. I think, Nancy, it will be worthwhile to then coordinate and reach out to the PBS. And it might be less complicated and faster than we had anticipated, I guess.
Yeah,
that would be great. Ted, do you have any thoughts, reactions, anything?
I was mostly just listening to see where you're headed, what's going on there, so. Since you guys are the smart guys.
I'd sort of simplify it by saying it makes the printer MIB able to penetrate a firewall. Because
yep.
That answers the 90% of the cases, right? You know, the IPP, some of the properties are useful to see about job history, but we're not proposing to put print operations through the firewall. That is, the ACS doesn't start print jobs, users start print jobs. So it vastly simplifies the problem if you throw out the whole, you know, commands and operations, the native printing commands, and you keep only the CWMP commands that say, start a diagnostic, here's firmware for you, what are your counters, you know, the read properties, that is.
Yep.
Set properties to change a policy, like, you know, to change, oh, print quotas, for instance, if that's the way the service, many services are sold with quotas, so you get so many units per month, and if you need more, you do something, and your device is updated, or your cell phone or whatever, and you got more units of service.
Yep. Yeah, I understand what's going on there, so I mean, it makes sense.
All right, Gary, before you leave, do you have any other questions?
I think the biggest thing for me, I mean, this has been a really good overview because I got to admit quite candidly, I didn't really even have a feel for kind of what this activity was and really where it was heading. I guess my main question would be, okay, so how does this move forward? What, you know, who does what? Kind of how does this actually start gaining some level of traction?
Oh,
and maybe that's already, it sounds like a lot of that's already well underway. You've got CellStream, ThinkStream, that's done a lot of prototyping type work, some tools, that sort of thing. But I guess just what are, you know, the pragmatic next steps here?
Right. Ira, I think we should make some kind of a decision here. As a next step, basically that's what Gary is asking for. My opinion is, first of all, we need input from John, from the poll at BBF to see what are the primary attributes we need to focus on in order to produce the simplified model for proposing to DDF at BBF, right?
Right.
And then we have this ThinkStream team who are very, very excellent in software development. And they can really quickly prototype and show us the model. And then we have the white paper publish the whole thing and then document everything, what we have done. And propose to BBF, and then start from there. In the meanwhile, I need to find out, you know, what's the proper process PWG can collaborate with BBF, especially participating.
Yeah, because of ISPO rules, we cannot sign an NDA with anyone ever.
Right, but we probably have some other, you know, method we can work with them.
An informal liaison that does not involve any document from the PWG, we can certainly talk with the BBF about.
Yeah, yeah.
A liaison from the organization, it is not our choice to do. It's the ISTO's,
mm-hmm.
and it's their rules.
I think we need some sort of a conference call, you know, maybe with John and Robin and Mike, you and me together, and to find out what's the best way we can work together in order to really participate together in the development of the standard.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think also John and Gary, in terms of, you know, the kind of focus of what's interesting, you know, and John, you articulated it pretty well, what are the interesting things to be able to support. If sometime we could set up, or Ranka could set up, or Anil could set up a WebEx or a GoToMeeting and just show you the latest, actually take you through the latest demo, you would actually see that those are, of course, because those were the low-hanging fruit. Supplies and status were, you know, and diagnostics were, in fact, the things that are already in the demo and in the proxy.
I would certainly see some value in getting to take a look at that.
So maybe, I don't
know. Anil, can you take a lead and coordinate the session?
Yeah, sure. I'll do that.
That seems like a really good opportunity for a few more people to see it who haven't happened to be at a recent PWG meeting and, you know, seen one of the demos in the last couple of meetings.
Yeah. So I'll reach out to folks, figure out the best time that will work for all of you, and set one up.
Okay, that would be wonderful.
So I think that should work out with all our participants here.
I think thanks for your time, and it's great to see that there is synergy in terms of thought process. And so let's take the next steps you know, reach out to PBF, and then in parallel, we'll have a session in terms of a demo of the platform for Marvell or any other folks who might be interested. And
then
take it forward. Yeah.
We can put a note on even the PWG announce list that just says that, you know, for those who have not happened to see the proxy, you know, in person or, you know, by WebEx in the last couple of meetings, you know, we're planning on having a session that shows the proxy and then has some time for questions and discussions. And I would suggest that that means that we need to have a 90-minute session, because, it just always takes a while to show the demo, and there are some questions during it, and then if you try and squeeze it into an hour, our own experience has been that doesn't quite work.
Yeah, and I think Gary would like to see some more pragmatic thing in terms of maybe milestone and schedule. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So we'll have to work out that more in more detail and then present it to you, and then you can give us, you know, help in how we should improve it, or any comment you have on your side.
Sure.
Okay, good.
Hey, I'm going to need to run now, so I certainly appreciate, Ira, you taking us through the overview here, and John, thank you so much for being able to join this morning. I very much appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Gary, for you bring Marvell team to us. Really, very helpful. Thank you.
Very good. You're welcome. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gary Zimmerman, Marvell.
I've left the conference.
Shall we adjourn, or do we want to go look at the face-to-face minutes, which frankly are kind of boring to talk through?
I don't think so. You know, Ira, you already...
I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah. You already... Actually, you already said everything that we have done in the last meeting, which is recorded in minute anyway, so there's no need to go through
Nancy
that.
Nancy and Neil and Ranga, in terms of action plan and milestones...
Right.
Can someone, I hope anyone besides me, take ownership for at least saying what are the milestones we need to think about, you know, making the email sketch of what the some milestones we ought to think about, and then we can start talking about time frames.
Right, right, yes. I can work that maybe with Ranga, because Ranga has scheduled their software team, right? So
right.
Yeah,
I think Anil help in the coordination. So
okay, yeah,
maybe,
okay.
Nancy, if you could work with Anil, then Anil can rope in, you know, gently. I'll let him know what my availability is, and then we can work things out accordingly.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, I this is just a possible approach, but it struck me that, well, hand translation, we all early decided, was a bad idea. Hand trimming of a very large model to a small model is almost as bad an idea. So I was thinking, Ranga and Anil, that enhancement to the machine translation tool, that so that it had a control file and it knew where to prune branches, sub-branches of the full model, and say, no, that's okay, very interesting properties, we're not translating them. So that we wound up with the small set that was kind of printer MIB and port MON, maybe counter MIB, maybe, and a few job properties and printer state properties from IPP and nothing else, and, you know, lost the
other. That should be possible.
Yeah.
So once we know which of what's the subset that we are interested in, then creating a data board, a machine translated data model just for that should be possible.
Yeah, I was thinking in terms of it's just this control file that says if you wind up encountering this property in a sub branch, throw away that branch because they're off in some extension. You know,
yep.
And we could put some, you know, sort of canary in the mine, telltale properties, and that, so we didn't have to explicitly list the 10,000 elements to leave out.
Yeah, if you could help us in terms of identifying which ones they are, I think then putting that into the tool should be not much of an issue.
Okay, good.
All right. I think, though, however, that at least the essence that I got from the conversation was that we should approach the group, we should see, number one, if there is any interest, and number two, what they regard as the parameters that they would be interested in. So before we go making another subset,
yeah.
I think that is a very important thing to do.
Wait. I did not at all get that the broadband forum is going to tell us which parameters of a printer are of interest, and I don't believe that they have the expertise to do it. We can tell them what parameters are of interest.
Well, I think first we have to hear that they have any interest in this at all.
Once they do, Bill, it is not a topic for the general membership of the BBF. What are the core properties of a printer? It's a topic for the printer industry experts. What are the core properties of a printer?
The point I was making was that it would be good to find out what they would want to achieve using TR69 with a printer. That's what it is. Not to change properties in printers, but find out what they want to achieve. Do they want to find out about land problems the printer may be causing or experiencing, and such as that?
Right. Okay. High-level functional capability.
Yeah. More in English rather than in... Yeah.
Ask them what they would want. They're not going to tell you about bits and bytes or functions they want to see in a printer that are outside of the
scope. Right.
It's
not their job.
Is status... Do they, you know, or maybe what we could do is even ask them, you know, here are 10 things. You are interested in status? Yes, no. Are you interested in metering? Yes, no. Are you interested in supplies level? Yes, no. And then things like that. I think that would simplify things.
Yeah, maybe that would be a good way to advance it. Give them a short menu of possible topics and say, this is not exhaustive, but, you know, here are some that occur to us, you know. Which of these are of interest? And
they have
what others are of interest.
They have a meeting early December, so you have plenty of time to develop something and hash it out and get it to them. I sent along an email to several people in the group that has Robin's contact information.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And I'll leave you guys alone and in peace.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thank you all.
Johnny, so
I've left the conference.
Do we, Nancy, want to schedule a next meeting or not?
We'll need to work on all these action items, right? And then have a meeting. So, Ira, I'll contact Mike first to reach out to BBF to figure out how we can work with them, participate in their meeting first.
Right.
Whether that's possible, and then when that's possible, then we go ahead to do the rest of the step. Because
well,
that has
certainly
to be
possible. It's certainly possible for a member body like Marvell or Cisco to bring the topic to the attention. Whether non-BBF members can attend a BBF meeting, not by my reading of their process rules, but maybe.
Right, but John was saying that Robin was able to figure out all possible ways for allowing non-member to participate in the meeting before.
I know, but the discussion was in the context of other organizations, and that's exactly what the PWG cannot do, Nancy. No accommodation on the BBF's chain parts will change ISTL rules. We cannot enter into even a limited NDA as an organization.
Yeah, so yeah. I think that's clear. But if BBF has a workaround on
BBF has a workaround for individuals who are invited experts, that would be the workaround, Nancy, not a PWG.
That was the only reason.
Well, we'll see whether, not as a PWG, right. So we just have to work with Robin to see all the workarounds possible for us.
Well, the reason I brought up a next meeting is because we have coming at us like a train wreck an October meeting. So the 2 weeks from now is the 28th, the Friday before the meeting that starts the following Monday, the face-to-face meeting.
Right, I know.
So I wondered if we should tentatively scratch that into all of our calendars with a view to... if nothing else, reporting progress on these various next steps.
Right, we have to.
Yeah, I think Nancy has volunteered to coordinate to figure out on reaching out to BBF, and then once that's done, and we get a feedback, then let's take that forward. But in the meantime, I don't think we need to do any actions till we hear back from BBF per se.
Well, except the other action, which should get in the minutes, Nancy, that Anil will try to set up an opportunity for Marvell and Ted from Novell and anyone else who has not seen the demo to see the demo.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, okay.
Seeing the slides is one thing, but seeing the demo suddenly makes it real in a real different manner, right?
Right.
You see some actual, you see this happen, you see the actual schema, you can see the operations happening to gather the information and the proxy activity.
All right.
Okay.
That sounds great. Then, yeah. Okay, Ira. So we two need to talk with the Mike. So, what do you think your availability?
My availability is sketchy, but I can I can try to work around things. I have 10 to 14 standards teleconferences in six bodies weekly. in addition to my work. So my schedule, and they don't all happen every week, and so the times move around. So I just, you know, I can move, I can be as flexible as possible. I don't know about talking with Mike. Mike is still very, in fact, he just became much more inaccessible, and I don't really know.
How about we just email?
That we can try that and see if we get a, you know, I'm out of the office kind of reply or what. I don't know. I haven't heard from him in a couple of days.
Well, the Mike is pretty quick on responding to email to me, so.
Yeah, he usually sees with his iPad if he's anywhere. Anywhere at all, he usually sees at least that he got it.
Right, so we'll try that first, and then if there's need for teleconference, we'll just, you know, schedule one. Okay.
And I'll set up a meeting for the 20th. Is that what we decided?
Because next week is too soon, certainly.
Okay. And we also
Next week we may indeed have some email conversation or even a brief meeting, an interim meeting, but I think we should plan that so it's before the face-to-face that we have 1-2 weeks from now to report on our various activities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if nothing else, Nancy, to figure out what we're going to say at the boss session.
Oh, yeah.
Which we need to start to think about real quickly.
Everything
maybe
has to be done very quickly.
The slides to say, you know, our good progress today and whatever progress we've managed to make in the meantime.
Right. Okay, good.
Okay. Thank you all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.